you're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. So there was a long time of my being a film critic career that I said, I will not review a film by someone that is a friend. And eventually we got to the point that we cover so many films that I was like, I'm starting to feel like I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, once, like Doctor Strange, yeah. One of your friends is all that, like, you kind of just got to bite the bullet and review that one.
Dude, we do so much horror stuff, and I spend every year at Fantastic Fest. I'm like,
you get to know people.
I get to know them really well. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to have to let this go at some point. And this movie, Mercy Black, is especially problematic for me to review because Owen Egerton, who is a local Austinite who I've known for years, I consider to be a very close friend, a great guy. I've given very strong reviews to his two previous movies, Follow and Bloodfest. I'm like, okay. And I didn't even know this was coming out. This was a huge shocker, this drop for a lot of people. That was kind of the idea. He teamed up with a Blumhouse or Jason Blum, if you will, to put this out on Netflix, which is kind of a Netflix thing lately, like surprise drop, drop of a film. I was really shocked to hear that he had a Blumhouse project going on.
Yeah, it's a big one. I mean,
previously his last film was Rooster Teeth, which is nowhere near as big as Blumhouse, but.
And was Followed? Did that even have a distribution? I'm trying to remember.
It did, yeah.
I remember I saw it at the Draft House, him being a local boy. It was like some screening it for like a week or two, and I checked it out because I think I'm not a close friend of this guy. I've actually met him maybe like once through Fantastic Fest or something, but he's been a figure that I've seen around a lot in the film scene. He's at the Alamo lot.
He's a big part of Master Pancake Theater.
Master Pancake Theater. He's hosted other screenings, and I've seen him at Fantastic Fest parties. Like, he's been around, and I've seen him.
He's a terrific guy that everyone who's ever spent time with him goes, I love that fucking guy.
Yeah.
I want to support whatever he does. So when I found out about this, I contacted you. I was like, okay, Alan, you're my horror guy who has a car. I love you, patience, but you don't have a car, so you're a little harder to schedule. And we're going to cover this fucking movie. So I was excited to watch this. A Netflix drop and it being Blumhouse made me a little nervous.
Yeah, because it has to fit into some certain molds. Not necessarily with the Netflix thing, but with the Netflix Blumhouse duo, like the type of movie that Blumhouse would release straight to Netflix, you kind of understand, like, this isn't going to fit a mold. Yeah. Like, there is a formula to this type of movie. And unfortunately for me, like, this movie fits that type of mold, and it's not a very exciting mold for horror. We'll get into the plot of everything first, and we'll get into, like, how I feel about it.
I don't entirely disagree with you, although I think that our end view of it may be a little different. All right, so the story is here. So there were – and this is at least at first done in a very nonlinear sort of way. Mm-hmm. There were some little girls, three little girls who were 10?
Yeah, young.
10, 11,
10, maybe? 11, 12, somewhere around in that range. Yeah.
Who had done a thing that they basically had created a mythology of a character named Mercy Black. Mm-hmm. That the idea was that if they created a blood sacrifice to her, it would give them not power, but it would.
It's kind of vague. I remember it was just like it'd bring you peace. Like you put like. It's like any like little kid thing who's having like a rough time for being a little kid. It's just like we do this thing to this deity that we've created and our lives will be better for it.
Right. Well, I mean, but specifically that one of them, their mother is dying of I don't remember if they named what the disease was. I assume it was cancer or something, but like save my mom and we'll do this. So there's a certain degree of flashbacks very early on, happening more often early on in the first act than the third act. But it quickly goes to, okay, something horrific happened. And it seems like the two of the girls killed the third girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like brutally murdered them, that girl, as a sacrifice. And we see many, many years later, third girl, not third girl, I'm sorry, the one of the two girls who killed the other one is played by Daniela Pineda, and she has spent most of her life in a psychiatric institute.
Like, all of her life up until, like, our movie really gets going. Like, the preamble we see, and then the movie kind of starts when she's leaving the psych ward.
Right, run by Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
Who apparently Owen was, like, such a big fan of.
Yeah, she's always great.
He approached her and said, I would love for you to be in this movie. And she's like, yeah, I haven't had a lot of work lately, so sure.
She's always good in everything she shows up in.
She is.
Even, like, in everything, like, and this is, like, a dramatic role for her, but, like, that's early thing. When I saw her show up, I was like, oh, shit, Janine Garofalo.
I know.
That's cool, yeah.
It'd been so long since I saw her, there was a moment I was like, is that Janine Garofalo? But anyway, so she's like, at that point, like, you've been here long enough, we feel like you've made peace with this, you understand that this character, this imaginary person that you created, Mercy Black, was not a real thing. There's no such thing as Mercy Black. You're ready to go back to your own life. So she is picked up by her sister, who is like, please, we're going to, she has her own young son. She's like, come live with us. Everything's fine now. We're going to work it all out. Part of the problem is that as she discovers, this was not an insular experience that, like, is limitedly known. It turned into, because she doesn't know what the internet even is, really.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the weird things. It's like, I'm trying to do the math on this. I'm sure the internet was around.
But it's a psychiatric institute.
Yeah, you're not surfing. You're not making a MySpace page.
There's a psychiatric institute for like 10 years. It was like, okay, I get it. They probably didn't let you have free access to the internet. But the idea that, like, that whole experience turned into a viral meme where it was a huge deal. Like, and in fact, there have been many copycat murders over
the years. It's kind of like in the vein of like a real life viral, like Slender Man.
They were going specifically for,
like,
Slender Man.
Yeah, or like any of those other things. I think the recent one is Momo, which I didn't know what that was until like 3 days ago, and I Googled it, and it is a scary looking thing.
I don't know what that is.
Dude, I don't know the story behind it, or I don't know where it comes from. I literally saw the Google image of what it was, and it was nope, and closed the window. I don't know anything else.
You, the horror guy, nope.
It's the scariest looking thing I've ever seen.
All right.
Yeah.
But definitely, and we're not talking about Slender Man, the creepypasta in and of itself, so much as the social reaction to Slender Man, which dealt with, actually had people believing it and committing horrible acts based on their belief of said thing. So she's gradually, as the film goes on, encounters this world. And that partially has to do with the fact that her sister's boyfriend is like a true crime fanatic who has been prepping for this, apparently, as we
who
find
amongst
out.
Us aren't. Yes. Yeah.
Who's been ready for this, for her to come home and to interrogate her, because he's got a whole plan for a book to write about this and thinks that, what a great plan.
He's ready to launch Serial 3. He's ready. He has all these big plans. Yeah.
And obviously all of this is more than just a little disturbing to this fish out of water lead character. Daniel Pineda is playing Marina. And the movie spends a lot of time dealing with that sort of, like, is this just total bullshit with the viral thing going on? Is there actually something supernatural going on? And then very quickly going into the whole, is there someone who is pretending to be this mythical character who is trying to manipulate the situation for whatever motives.
Mm-hmm. And it should be said along the way here, her nephew or her sister's son, who she's living with, he quickly becomes infatuated with this, like, thing, this idea. And he kind of, like, starts to experience, like, similar reactions to it that she had when she was a girl, like a similar trauma.
Yes.
Kind of with the same creature that's created.
And I feel like Daniela Pineda and the kid playing the kid in here have this great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. It's I wanted to see more of them interacting with each other. The other sister is just kind of like a outsider person who's like, who's constantly going, she's the sister from Poltergeist. She's like, what's going on?
Yeah, she has like two notes, and one's like, everything's going to be okay. And the other is like, none of this is real. Yeah. Everything's going to be okay. None of this is real. And that's like, she gets the short shrift of the two. It's funny because she's the mom, and the aunt who's been in the psych ward for 15 years or something has like a seemingly like quick connection with this kid, which I guess works for like they're both connection like to this scary, maybe made up, maybe real monster that's dealing with. They connect over that trauma pretty quickly. But yeah, their chemistry is one of the things that really works in the movie. I'd go with that for sure.
I feel like the movie would have been stronger if it had focused more on those effects. Instead, it really does tend towards like that is it real, is it not real thing, which seems on paper to be the better idea, but it's awkward as it goes along and it keeps changing its mind.
Well, that's the thing, the tone of it, there's scenes in this movie where like it's everything it's saying to you cinematically and like literally, like people are saying, is this isn't real. Like cinematically it's like betraying, and then the next scene will kind of betray that, which if it was maybe a different edit of it, it makes that a little more smooth, where it actually does play with your mind, like, oh, maybe it's that. Maybe, but instead, you're just like, what? Which is it? Like, you know, like, it's not like a fun thing to engage with as the movie goes along. It's more of just like a frustrating, like, I don't know if this movie knows kind of situation. That is to say, like, some scenes really work for scares. Others are very telegraphed, like, I know when this jump scare is coming. There's the jump scare.
Well, they get into very, like, that, as I said early on, that period where you go, this feels like it was written for Blumhouse Films in a way that hurts it.
Yeah, yeah. The mold we were talking about,
Yeah.
Like, and that mold definitely hurts it. And that's not to say, like, I was never really scared by this movie, but I will say there's one scene, I won't give it away if you're going to watch it. It's kind of later in the movie.
Yeah, very later in the movie, I think.
Very, very late. About. That, like, it did make me scared.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get, it was like a sort of a reveal, and it's like a perfect build up, and there's not music cueing with it. It's just like a movement that's
Good. They've convinced you of one thing.
Yeah, they finally convinced you
and
of it. Yeah.
And where you're like, no, this is no question the way things are. And then the movie suddenly pulls a reverse on you, and you go, okay, and that raised the hairs on the back of my neck.
Yeah, a little
like,
bit.
That's
yeah.
fucking creepy.
And that was an example of that working, where like, the transition being of like, is it or isn't it? And that worked in that scene, but so many other scenes it doesn't.
But then it doesn't follow up.
It kind of betrays it immediately, where you're almost like, maybe it is in her mind, this sequence. And it's like her wrestling with the metaphor of her wrestling with this past trauma.
Also,
is it that? Or
also, I get their reasoning behind the way that said thing looked the way that it did, but it looked really
shabby.
Like a chintzy bad horror movie effect.
Yeah.
You know, like bad haunted house effect.
Yeah, it looked pretty. Like, which it could, like, because I could see how that thing could be scary, with, which is weird, because, like, so much as one thing I was going to say about it is, like, the cinematography in this thing, especially in the first half where there's a little more color in the movie, or it's, like, a little more, not color, but light in it, is really good. There's some shots in the house, like classic haunted house shots and stuff, but it looks really, really pretty.
Yeah.
There's some stuff. It's like really well shot. And I feel like it kind of dips away towards the end. And some of the, it's a lot of darker shots. But I can see how that creature shot right and like with how shabby as it looks, but like the idea of something that's handmade coming to life and being like a real thing is a very scary thought.
It just doesn't quite get there. It's an interesting as hell choice.
Yeah.
After the initial reveal, it just kind of is like, okay, this isn't scary. It just looks shabby.
Yeah.
You know. I think the performances are just okay here is another problem as well. Mm-hmm. I think Danielle Pineda is just okay in this. I think the sister has very little to do. I think the kid is great.
He's good. But again, in that mold, he's playing the exact kid you expect in this type of horror movie. But he does that well. Like, I will say that.
There are some certainly surprises that came along that I actually did not see coming. Like, there's a big reveal with the character that I was like, okay, I admit, I did not predict that.
Same.
I spent the whole movie looking for something, and that was not what I expected it to be.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing about this movie is so much of it was predictable for me that, like, and that wasn't. And I was like, well, shit. Like, if, like, it's weird to see, like, that so handled so well and other parts aren't, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's one character who's kind of a dick. And once that person's a dick, I was like, he's going to die in the very next scene. Dead in the very next scene. It's like that type of horror setup, knocked down. And there's a lot of that throughout. But that, the reveal that we're talking about, was surprising. Like, you, truly surprising.
You spend the bulk of the film, like, you would an Agatha Christie film going, I'm trying to estimate the amount of characters that are here that we know about. If this is not supernatural, it's got to be one of these characters who's doing things as people start to actually die. So who could it possibly be? And it's someone that you hadn't even thought about.
Yeah.
And but in a way that's not cheap.
It's very hidden, like, hidden in plain sight. They're there. Like, it's just, like, surprising.
I was like, whoa, okay, I did not see that coming. But I don't think necessarily as the whole final play out, it works perfectly. Although I did like on an emotional level, there's a final sequence between the two major characters there that goes, wow, this is actually kind of powerful. Mm-hmm. It just isn't as good as it should be.
Well, you know, and that's even talking about her performance. I think there are scenes, and that scene in particular, where she's like really good in it.
Yeah.
Both actresses in there are really good in that scene. And there are like, and I was talking about the one scene that has a really effective scare. It's that there are scenes that are really, really good, and there are scenes that aren't. And when they're back to back, it shows. And that's like a bummer because, like, you see, and I don't know what the budget and the time constraints on this movie is and like everything that went into doing this thing. Like, but you could see that. You could see, like, man, maybe if they had, like, another day to shoot this, like, particular sequence, it would have kicked a lot of ass.
Yeah.
Because there was definitely stuff that they nailed it, and there's stuff where it's just like, man, this needs some run-throughs, you know?
There's a lot of moments that come off as unnecessarily awkward in the execution here, and there's so much here to like, but it all feels a little rushed.
Yeah.
I guess the best thing I can think of is like, it just feels like this is a great concept. It's taking that whole post Slenderman idea, you know, the idea that viral memes can affect people, like something that you can Google to see isn't real. Yeah. And yet, nonetheless, young people could be affected by to the point.
Googling to see something is real. There's kids right now that think the moon landing is fake. Because they've Googled to see if it's real, and
don't
they
even
were
get me started.
Flat earthers. I mean, that's. I mean, it's kind of what this idea is playing into. It's
I had to ban two people from my Facebook feed because they were trying to convince me that the Earth was flat.
Like the internet is not a place to go for your definitive information. You know, you got to check your sources, which is like kind of plays into like an aspect that I wish this movie explored more. Like they kind of delve into like this, like looking on the internet. And how you could fall down a rabbit hole of a conspiracy theory of if this real isn't. And it really only gets one scene to talk about it. But that one scene when they talk about it is like the conversation that should be had about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this is interesting. But then that's never explored further after that, you know?
I did feel like even visually, to some degree, there were some issues here. Like in terms of cinematography choices. There's a lot of like obvious I have a new toy to play with sequences. Like there's a couple drone pull away sequences that I'm like, okay, we get it. The drone is awesome.
Yeah.
Like I've worked on a film where it was like, yeah, it's so cool that now you have a drone. Yeah. This is a chance for a cool shot. But in the film, it's just like, this is kind of like spending way too much time on this shot. Just because you're like, isn't this awesome? We have flying cameras now. Yeah. I don't know. It's a mixed bag. I think that like your average fan of horror who isn't like you and me who are into Deliberations of Doom on this very website, will be like a little more like, no, you didn't find this frightening. That's great. There's nothing inherently wrong with this film other than the fact that it wants to be more original than it actually is.
Yeah. Which it goes again, fitting into that box of like, a Blumhouse Netflix release.
Yeah.
You know,
it was one of those, like, if you guys had more confidence from this, then you probably would have put it out in theaters.
For sure. Or at least, like, because Netflix has a way of starting a memification and, like, a news cycle around a release.
Yeah.
And there was none of that for this. It was just kind of, like, dropped out on Netflix. But, like, I saw like a tweet about it, maybe, and like
I obviously, as I previously said, friends with Owen, so he was like, "Oh, I hear there's going to be some of the horror movie dropped on Netflix tonight. Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out." I was like, "What? What's going on?" And then I immediately felt like a little like hurt. I'm like, "You didn't want to do that? There was an early screening. You didn't invite me to the early screening." I'm not giving my mixed review out of negativity based on that, I promise. But I just think this is okay. But Alan, why don't you go into your final thoughts?
I wasn't wild about this movie. I watch a lot of movies and I watch a lot of horror movies. And when you're in that position, this is just like at the low end of run of the mill. It's not like terrible. Actually, well, there are some scenes that are kind of terrible, but like there are other scenes that are like really well done. It's just like a total mismatch of it. When they're kind of back to back like that, it's ultimately bad. I think what you said about like your average horror fan or like your casual average horror
fan.
Who's like, well, might scroll Netflix. Is like, oh, this title looks scary and put it like, I found to find some enjoyment in it. It's like a total, it's that exact. It's, and that's why it's a Netflix Wheelhouse movie. It's like that movie where someone will throw on in October, whatever, a scary movie, and they'll find probably enjoyable. I think you're like, you have a couple of good jump scares the way that they expect them to come. And yeah, that's, you know, that's a thing in its own. I will, we'll give this movie 4 out of 10 chopped fingers.
Yeah, I think we're more or less on the same page. I think I liked it a little bit better than you did. I think there's some interesting subtext here going on that is what I enjoyed this film more upon reflecting upon it than I did upon initially watching it. I wish the performances were better more than anything. There's some very awkward performances throughout here, and I don't know how much that is the actor and how much is it is Owen with directors. Once again, Owen, I love you so much. I'm sorry that like I'm criticizing you, but we're just trying to do our job here. I think this is well worth watching as a casual horror fan, but if you're a serious horror fan, if that's your big thing, this is not going to be your movie. You're going to go, we've seen this before. I appreciate you're trying to, it feels like such a slow movement towards an idea that's a cool idea, that post Slenderman idea. It's a great idea. But ultimately you just fell back into something like Annabelle. It's just like, okay, this is a just okay Blumhouse horror film. I wanted it to be better every step of the way. I think it's got a strong third act. I really, really do.
Yeah.
But the first two acts are kind of dull and predictable and not scary at all.
Wow, yeah. The one good scare I got was like right up towards the end. And it was a legit good scare. Well crafted, but at the end. Yeah.
I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 Annabelle dolls we probably didn't see in the background somewhere.
Are those back there?
I feel like they have to be, right? There's like, isn't that a thing now? Where you're like, oh, then we've hidden the Annabelle doll.
Yeah, just throw this in the connected universe.
Sure, why not?